I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few?
Downtown at a railway station!
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. Glad to have you listening. Craig behind the glass running the board for us today. Our executive producer in the place of A.T., who is still ailing. And you actually got a chance to go see A.T. today.
Yeah, I saw Arthur today, and he's in great spirits. He's just going stir crazy. He said I can spill the beans. I didn't know how much information you want to put out there. But he's had some real bad stomach pain, and they're trying to get his blood sugar and everything right. But it looks like he's going to have some gallbladder surgery once the doctor's ready to do it, once they see what they like. But he's just going absolutely stir crazy bananas. He does have ESPN in his room, so he's got that going, and a lot of movies on his iPad. But, yeah, man, but I told A.T. that everybody was asking about him, and he's hanging in there, just waiting for the green light to go get that surgery.
Well, hopefully he gets better and get better soon, AT. Of course, we've been in contact with him. Mike, I actually got a chance to go see him today, but in his spot, Bo Morgan producing the show today. We got a lot of stuff to get to, man. Darren Ailes will join us coming up next hour as we get a chance on a weekly basis to talk to the president of our Atlanta United. It's the Free Kick with Darren Ailes at about 3:20, and as Mike said, we'll talk about not only what happened in the match last weekend, but also looking ahead to what's going to go down tomorrow and then that match against NYCFC.
And by the way, guys, we try to be as fair and balanced as we can be when it comes to all our teams. But, I mean, certainly there's great things going on with United, but there's a bit of an issue with finishing. And I think a lot of fans do see that. So we'll talk to Darren about what Tata has to dial up to get that to work a little bit better. Because, obviously, last year the grind of the schedule, that was kind of an excuse, but it was more of a rationale for why we lost to Columbus, but we also had some opportunities in that match where we didn't finish. So something with all the talent, we've got to be able to put the ball in the net because that's what separates the champions from the also-rans.
No doubt we'll talk plenty about the Braves who continue their West Coast swing. Last night they lose the first game of this road trip against the Padres, and we'll break that down and get more into what's going on with Julio Teheran, and why he has not turned out to be the ace we thought he would be, because he's not. And, you could talk about Brandon McCarthy. You could also talk about guys like Folti, who are really, in my opinion, the number one guys. But it was supposed to be Julio, and he continues to struggle. We'll get into that, Mike. But as the OTAs continue for Atlanta Falcons, guys, this is where we start. Because you asked me this months ago when you said, when are the Falcons going to do the Jake Matthews deal? Now, this was prior to Matt Ryan getting his contract extension, which we knew was going to happen. But remember, Jake was going into the final year of his rookie deal, a deal that's going to pay him $12.4 million this season. And if you go look at the, starting left tackles in the league, that's about the going rate, right? When you're talking about per year average?
Yeah, he's just under by a couple hundred thousand or almost to a million about what would be being franchised. I mean, it's a big – that's why when you see guys arguing right now over – or their agents arguing with teams over that fifth year for their – these guys got drafted in the first round. You see that comes up big time. So, yeah, I mean, I would think that we didn't want to pay that much money to Jake. I thought we'd have this deal restructured by the time camp opened up. We've got over $7 million in cap space right now. So if there are other guys that get cut or there's some people that between now and the start of the season that we think we can plug in, we've got the room to do that.
Couple of things going on at OTAs. Dan Quinn does speak to the media today afterwards as they get the last week. This is the last week of OTAs. And then, again, they won't have to train again until the mandatory minicamp. But we find out from D. Orlando Ledbetter, who covers the Falcons for the AJC, according to Jake Matthews, that, you know, he probably will get a contract extension. This is not coming from Jake. This is D kind of speculating that, Mike, it may happen late in the season.
Now, Schrader got his deal in the second half of the season a year ago, right, Bo? When Schrader got his midseason? Or was that early in the season?
It was the middle of the 2016 season.
So perhaps maybe that's when Jake will get his. I mean, you don't have to. I mean, we do, as we said, our team's on the field. We picked up Fusco to, you know, to bolster the line. We've got some help as far as free agent and the draft and the defensive tackle position. So, as I said, Carl, unless somebody that came available when you see some more cuts that might surprise people between now and when the season starts, you don't have to use all your caps. I think it's 89%, I believe, is what you got to use according to the CBA.
Now, let me ask you this just about Jake as we talk about this. And your chance to win $1,000 is coming up. We're going to talk more about this as we go throughout the course of the afternoon. You know, there are some people who say, listen, he's been good. Not great. I think that's kind of my stance. I think that's where you are. But with this said, with not having a deal in place, I think the Falcons probably want to re-sign him. Again, they spent a high draft pick on him, Mike.
Right.
But there are some Falcon fans that go, wait a minute. You know, hold on. Again, here we go. Are we just paying guys to pay them? Or are we paying guys because they are the real deal?
Well, I mean, yes. In hindsight, maybe Taylor Lewan would have been the more physical guy that maybe was some Falcon fans would have liked. He's had a couple of Pro Bowl seasons in Tennessee, and he got his deal. But, I mean, you're not going to move on from a first-round pick. I mean, I don't think it's as tough a decision. You know, Sam Baker got that monster contract year, and you paid him, and then he never was healthy again. I mean, you're not going to move on from Jake. I think, you know, yeah, you're right. Solid, but not spectacular. That's the offensive line, isn't it?
It is. And I'm only saying that because, to me, at left tackle, if you're going to pay a guy, all right, outside of Alex Mack, which was a given, that's the guy that you're going, all right, that's the dude. He's getting $12-13 million. He's the blind side of our quarterback. I get it. I don't know if fans feel that way. I think most fans, and I could be wrong on this, and you're always welcome to text us at 404-741-0929. Falcon fans, tell me, because, I mean, I just feel like as we talk about this, and the reason why we bring it up is because D-Led had a chance to talk to Matthews before OTAs today, but I just think, you know, you don't feel that way about our left tackle. And there are some left tackles, again, offensive linemen don't get all the glory, guys. We get it. But the better teams in this league probably have a hell of a left tackle. Go ask the Eagles.
Right, and that's certainly something that, you know, the Eagles had depth. They were able to plug in a backup, and they were able to get all the way to the Super Bowl and win it. I mean, like I said, Jake, I got nothing against – I mean, like, there were a bunch of guys that made mistakes in the Super Bowl. His obviously was certainly magnified, and it was a holding penalty. It wasn't a missed call. He was holding, you know, on the, that push out of field goal range, and that basically, you know, I don't have to tell you how Super Bowl 51 ended. But I think a lot of our listeners, at least not all of our Falcon fans, are that preoccupied with offensive line to the point I think you and I are. But then there's also the rationale of, well, you know, well, zone blocking scheme, you can plug in anybody. You just laid it out. It's the blind side for Matt Ryan. You just gave a quarterback $150 million. Why would you not have a guy in there that can do the job?
You got to have a guy that
can do
it. So,
I mean, does Pro Bowl matter to you, or all pro, the one that the writers vote on to you when you look at where these guys stack up?
Well, it should. I mean, let me ask you this. And, again, Bo, I'm asking this because I'm thinking out loud right now. Matt Ryan. We're talking about Matthews. Jake Matthews has not had any Pro Bowl appearances, right? He's not been considered all pro at any point since he's been here. Now, I will tell you guys this, because I do remember we talked about it, Mike. He's been very durable. I think, you know, he's played almost every game. I want to say he missed maybe one game since he was drafted, which is a big deal when you're talking about paying a guy a lot of money. Does he show up every Sunday? I get it. But, yeah, doesn't that matter? I mean, doesn't it matter how you're viewed with your peers and, more importantly, guys in the league? Now, again, I don't know. Maybe guys are like, look, this dude is a bruiser when we're playing against him and he's tough. Or maybe he's not viewed that way. But the accolades, they haven't come.
Well, we've kind of remember how the offensive line was put together. Lavitre was necessitated. And when Dan Quinn got here, we had to trade. They didn't see they had the depth. We had to get Alex Mack because we didn't have a center. Because, you know, it goes back to after Todd McClure, the cons and guys we picked up didn't pan out. And Holly couldn't stay healthy. So we had, you know, we had issues on the line. You know, Schweitzer has been a pleasant surprise as an undrafted free agent. You know, I mean, I think we go back and we look at some of the pieces we plugged in. You know, it's a zone blocking scheme. I don't know if I cannot speak for how the general manager and the guys feel up there. Like, you can't just plug anybody into this. But they think Fusco is an upgrade. Fusco's got more experience and he's got a lot of starts in the NFL, so that should help. But Matthews, I think you pay him, but you don't pay him Bruce Matthews money.
Okay.
Because he ain't his dad. He ain't even close.
Yeah, listen, I have no qualms with that. I just think that's a big decision the Falcons are going to have to make moving forward. And there is more to this Jake Matthews comments that we're going to get to here in a moment in regards to the offense and understanding the offense. And I'm going to lay something out for you guys here on Dukes and Bell. It is time, though, right now for you to maybe win some money.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
quiz. Quiz, Quiz Show. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, great. It was Ralph Fiennes.
It was.
Yeah, good
Quiz
one.
Show.
Based on a true story.
It really was. 72881. That's 72881 right now for your chance to win. That's the text number you send it to for your opportunity to win $1,000 right now. All right? Don't do it while you're driving. Pull over. Then text. Then get back on the road.
Quiz. Quiz. Pop quiz, hot shot. You shoot the hostage. Oh, that was speed.
Speed.
Yeah, man. Quiz, Quiz, to 72881. Good luck for our $1,000 signing bonus contest.
By the way, speaking of that, you ever just flip through the channels and you come across some of those movies that we thought were awesome and they are really corny?
Yeah.
Like now? Yeah. Like you watch Speed now and you're like, this is weak sauce. I can't even believe I spent as much time as I did watching this.
This is the great debate about Keanu Reeves. What is he? I mean, you know. There's a bomb on the bus.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I found myself the other night. And even so, like, you know what's going to happen. We've talked about it. Some of those movies, you know how it ends. You've seen it a million times. And you still invest in it. That's one of those movies now I come across. I'm like,
yeah, but you cry when Jeff Daniels gets blown up.
Stop it.
Dennis Hopper's chewing up scenery.
That was one of those movies now looking back, weak. Top Gun, on the other hand, still gets my vote. Flipping through, I'll still watch Top Gun.
Yeah, but those scenes in the locker room now look very strange. No one will know about Tom Cruise now. That's right, Ice Chump. I am dangerous.
I am dangerous.
Hey, let's all take our shirts off and play some volleyball. Hey, man, it is.
Who doesn't do that?
Dukes and Bell. Thanks for hanging out with us. We got plenty to dive into more on. What Julio is missing? I think if I remember reading the vibes that you're putting down for the tease.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it, man. We got some headlines coming up, but we're also going to get into what else Jake said. Because one of the things I left tackle Jake Matthews told D. Orlando Ledbetter is he's trying to get a better understanding of the offense. Every team in the league has something they have to deal with. Every team has got something they're dealing with. And I'm going to go down the list of things that teams are dealing with, whether they're in our conference, our division, or just around the league. Mm-hmm. The thing we're dealing with is Sarkisian. And if Jake is trying to get a better understanding of the offense, I think that's great.
Right.
But shouldn't everybody else?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know how I feel about this.
404-741-0929 is the number. We're going to talk about that. We got some NBA Finals conversation coming your way as well. As we mentioned last night, man, Braves getting blown out. Rick Kamler was just telling us how bad. I did not stay up to see the entire game. Started it. It's West Coast. And Mike, he was saying he stayed up and watched most of it, and it was just like Turan was terrible.
Yeah, he was showing batting practice. Julio had no velocity, then he had a thumb issue from a at bat. Ha! And now Craig has pulled up the volleyball music.
Let's go!
Come on now. That didn't make you want to go out and play 2-on-2?
I got to be honest. There's no way Slider's losing. Major height advantage for Iceman and Slider.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. And by the way, if you want to chime in on that, I mean, I just think some movies we come across now that we watched 15 years ago or 10 years ago, they weren't as good as we thought they were.
I don't know, man. Who's aged better, Slider or Kelly McGillis?
Kelly McGillis looks terrible. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. Falcons OTAs continuing today up at Flowery Branch. We'll talk more about that. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's our NFL Blitz segment. More about why the Eagles did not make their White House appearance, guys. And if you've not heard that story, I think it's more interesting than a lot of people give it credit for, considering how this thing all went down. Hey, the Braves yesterday, Mike, and you mentioned this, and we're going to get to some headlines here in a sec, used their first draft pick on a pitcher for the fourth year in a row, selecting Florida high schooler right-hander Carter Stewart. He was the number 8th overall pick on Monday night. We said it. Braves still, you know, you can never have enough pitching, guys. It's like secondary, you know. You can never have enough good corners if you're in the NFL. So he is now a Brave. We're going to let you hear what he had to say on a conference call as the Braves selected him. But the kid, you know, from things that I've seen, again, we're talking about a high schooler.
Mm-hmm.
Looks the part. Looks like he's got it. How long does it take him to get here? And we're talking about, you know, the major league level. But he's got apparently a 98-mile-per-hour fastball that he has, and one of the best breaking balls in his class of guys and pitchers that are coming out. So
6'6" right-hander, by the way.
Yeah.
Imagine being in high school. Think about when you guys played high school baseball. Imagine a 6'6" guy on the bump dropping 95-mile-an-hour cheese on you. Good luck with that. But anyway, here's the problem, though, because I know nothing about the kid, but we know this now. If you get to this level in high school and you're this kind of a top prospect, you've been playing traveling team, right?
Yes.
You're pretty darn good. You just hope that, you know, by the time how many Tommy Johns is he going to have by the time he gets to the show? Because that's something you're seeing now almost on a regular basis.
Well,
in almost every franchise. I'm hoping that's, you know, knock wood, not going to be the case. But, yeah, everything you're looking for. Do you prefer now, because some GMs like to get pitching out of college, or do you think you'd rather get it off the tree and not out of the barrel because of the arm wear and tear?
Yeah, listen, I just think everybody's throwing at such a younger age now. I don't know if it matters, Mike. I mean, guys who select to go to college, who may be good enough to be drafted to the major leagues coming out of high school, and they go, well, I'm going to go have my college experience. You know, they've been throwing the ball as long as these other kids have.
Right.
I just think everybody's starting and specializing at such a young age. I just don't know if it matters anymore. You almost kind of keep your fingers crossed and hope that the guy's genes are good so that he doesn't throw his shoulder out before you get a chance to use it.
I mean, they're using pitch counts and everything, but now, I mean, you'll be in a controlled environment from your rookie ball to A and all that. So we'll see how long it takes him to matriculate to the Bravos. But, again, as you said, can't have enough pitching.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Hit us up, guys. We're live inside the Kia Studios. You can always get at us at 404-741-0929. Follow us across all social media platforms. That, of course, starts at 92.9 The Game. He's at Mike Bell, ATL, on Twitter. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. Follow the radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Craig, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with what happened to the Bravos. 11-4. They lose to the Padres. Guys, it was 2-2 in the bottom of the fourth, and then things fell apart. Here's Brian Snicker.
It was just one of them nights that he didn't have it, really. I mean, his velocity wasn't great the last time out either, but he always finds a way to – he just was missing locations. When he missed bad, and they hurt him. But the thumb is what drove him out of the game.
He's talking about Julio Mike Rafi Lopez. Solo home run in the bottom of that inning, or a solo shot that actually made it 3-2. But they had 7 runs in the fifth inning. Forget about it.
Yeah, 3 home runs. I mean, he was serving up some real batting practice. And, you know, we were just talking about this off the air. It's great to see Newcomb and the maturation of Fulton Avich. It would be nice if the ace, but he's no longer an ace. He's just a guy. He's now that innings eater. And you could argue that Brandon McCarthy's more impactful in this rotation than Julio is. So, remember last year we had those the Blues at home at SunTrust. And you hope that the thumb thing doesn't linger for him. But, again, we're just trying to keep this team in the hunt. Keep it, you know, whether it's winning the division or in the wild card. So, you know, maybe starting pitching would be something they would be willing to sacrifice a small piece of the future to go get.
Julio gave up 3 dingers. He came out of the game with an undisclosed injury at the time, and then we find out it's a finger deal. Tonight, by the way, it is Sean Newcomb on the hill for the Bravos. 6-1, 2.73 ERA. So hopefully he can get them back on track. But the Padres have been playing really well, man. I mean, give them credit. They had 13 hits for extra bases last night, sent 11 batters to the plate in that fifth inning, scoring 7 runs on a triple, 4 doubles, a single, 2 walks. That's just ugly. So pitching tonight is important.
Padres been beating up on some of the bottom feeders, and now their first crack at a decent team in a while. The Braves, by the way, still 1 game over the Nationals. It's tied in the loss column. We've got 2 games on them in the win column. San Diego, by the way, 7-3 in their last 10.
Let's hear from the Braves' newest draft pick, Carter Stewart, the number 8 overall pick on Monday night.
I'd say for about a week or so now, I felt like the Braves were definitely a high possibility that they might draft me. And whenever they called my name, it was really exciting. I've watched a lot of Braves in my life. We've always been fans of them for sure, and I know a good bit about their team now.
All right, very cool, man. Kid out of what, Melbourne, Florida?
Yep, and he's got a commitment to Mississippi State now. He's got a decision to make. Does he want to go play for the Bulldogs? Does he want to go right to the minor leagues again, rookie ball, and then see where it goes with the Bravos?
There is about a $5 million connection to that number 8 overall pick.
Right on.
So are you willing to give up the money? I've always said this to guys, and I went to school with a guy that got picked out of high school, and I said, you know, even at that time, we were like, go get the money. If it doesn't work out, you can always go back to school. So go get this money.
Yeah, see, that's like my buddy Richie LaRocca, I played high school baseball with. He went to the University of Maine when they had a really good program. They were in the College World Series a lot and turned down an offer from the Cardinals and then had arm trouble in college. Mm. So, I mean, just, you know, I know. I'm just saying, I'm with you. Take the loot.
Brian Bridges, director of scouting, had a comment or two about Carter Stewart.
Carter Stewart fits right in with ability. Again, big power fastball, 92, will touch 98, work 3-5. Double plus breaking ball on a scale to 20 to 80, it's a 70. So we feel pretty good about where we are with Carter. You know, he's still young. He's going to have to develop a changeup. But, you know, we're happy with where we are in that pick for sure.
If you didn't get any of all that, anything of what he said, he can pitch. Kid's got about three different pitches he's working with right now, and he's only going to get better. Hey, man, in other headlines, Mike, you said it. Looks like it's over. Capitals win 6-2 last night.
Yeah, we
good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Vegas. The Washington Capitals are one victory away from the Stanley Cup. They beat Vegas 6-2.
All right, you know, you got to temper that, man. You got to save that energy for games, the clinching game five.
They're close.
Yeah, it's coming. I mean, you can just see it. You know, unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah.
I was pulling. I thought the Vegas story was so cool. You know, Marc-Andre Fleury has been the story, but Holtby has been on fire in between the pipes for the Caps. They lead 3-1, and now they're in Vegas on Thursday night, and they can close them out.
Think it happens?
Well, Vegas, look, they'll have that night show. They'll do the jousting tournament on the ice. People will get fired up. And who knows? They've been the Cinderella story. But here's the thing with the Vegas Knights. Every series they've won, they've dominated. They've led series. They haven't had to come back like this. So this will be interesting.
It will be.
If they could do it. But I think the Capitals finally discovered clutch. It took them almost a decade, but they finally went to Ovechkin and found their clutch.
I think, and two, Ovechkin being this close, I don't see him blowing it. I just don't. We'll see how it plays out, though. That's why we watch, right? NHL Stanley Cup Finals. Meanwhile, Brad Guzan, our goalie, talking about cup competition. As you guys well know, MLS U.S. Open Cup tomorrow. You can listen to it right here. Pregame at 7, 7:30 kick. Mike Conte and our man Jason Longshore will have the call. Here's Brad.
It's not going to be easy. We know that. And like I said, anytime we step on the field, we want to make sure we try and win the game. And now being in a cup competition, it's an opportunity to hopefully progress in the tournament. And ultimately, you know, you want to find yourself in the final.
So up at Fifth Third Bank in Kennesaw, that stadium up there where Kennesaw State plays. And then New York City FC in the Bronx. Darren Eales will join us in less than an hour. And we'll talk to the boss of United about that compressed pitch, which, unfortunately for us, we want to run. We want to use our athleticism and our speed and get out there and create. But it just kind of jams things up on a very narrow field up in New York.
Hey, man, in other news, and this came down yesterday late in the show, our condolences going out to Dwight Clark's family. Mm. Dwight Clark passing away at age 61. And Mike and I were literally walking out and sharing memories about watching Dwight Clark and what a dude he was during his playing days. Suffered from ALS, guys. But sad news, at 61 years old, one of the all-time greats at tight end.
Yeah, for younger guys out there, you've seen the highlights of the 49ers, and that was like the dawn of the Bill Walsh West Coast offense. And when they beat the Cowboys, knocking off Tom, I remember Ed Too Tall Jones and Joe Montana's face, and throwing that ball that was like going to be out of the end zone, and Dwight brings it in. And Dwight Clark, just aside from football, just a stud. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's the thing. It's just a guy that just looks like a rock star. Yeah, it's hard to imagine the ALS take him away at age 61. That's way, way too young.
No doubt about it. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk with Grant McCauley. He is live from the Braves draft. The draft is still going on. We'll also talk to him not only about that, but this series with the Padres as the Braves stay out west. But we'll get his thoughts on the young man we've selected, 18-year-old Carter Stewart, as you just heard from him yesterday as he spoke with the media on a conference call. And what else are the Braves going to do in this draft? It's interesting, guys, because, you go back the last couple of years, Mike, and we've talked about it. We've got the number one farm system in baseball. Well, actually, now it's coming to fruition, right?
Right.
It's playing out that some of the guys we talked about 2-3 years ago are now actually here playing, and we're seeing it.
So that's the thing, guys. All the different prospects. Aaron Blair, obviously they cut bait on him, but Fulte looks like he's dialed in. We talked about Newcomb earlier. And the future's bright, and you got so many studs. Acuna now coming back. Mm-hmm. Albies, Austin Riley down in Gwinnett at third base. So, yeah, it's all coming together. Just a matter of your philosophy. Do you try to battle to win something this year, to put up a pennant? Or you say, I'm not going to part with anything. You and I were debating yesterday. And, again, this is just throwing it up on the wall. There's no idea what Alex Anthopoulos is going to get offered and who's going to be in and who's going to be out of a pennant race in another month's time. But, I mean, there's a few pieces you could give up that wouldn't be too much of a sacrifice to perhaps get another starting pitcher or somebody to beef up the bullpen.
I have no problems with it. I think you explore all opportunities. Hey, guys, quick reminder, tomorrow we are having our big fifth annual 92.9 The Game Celebrity Golf Classic, hanging out with Grady Jarrett and all the guys, man. And we told you yesterday, we literally have gotten a few calls from some guys who are like, yo, I'm going to play too, like Devontae Freeman and Keanu Neal, along with Grady and Vic Beasley, Mohamed Sanu, Tack, Sean Weatherspoon, Takeo Spikes, Harry Douglas, Ray Lewis, Dave Archer. I could go on and on and on. You hadn't signed up? What are you waiting for? Go to the website, 929thegame.com, and register. Whether it's by yourself or with the group, We want to hook you up, man, and have you guys play, but more importantly, give to the charity. Mike and I are going to be out there broadcasting live. We're going to have a fun, fun afternoon.
Hey, man, G-Money, Grant McCauley is going to join us, talk about the Bravos on a little West Coast swing. One game not so good in San Diego. Is Julio Teheran going to get it together? Grant will explain.
Coming up in 20 minutes, the latest from Flowery Branch. You guys do not want to miss it. It is Dukes and Bell. And we're going to spend some time with our man, Grant McCauley, the best baseball guy in town. Covers the Braves, covers MLB for 92.9 The Game. And Grant, we were just hearing from the young man, Carter Stewart. Look, he has the physical attributes of a stud, right? 6'6", big kid, throws hard. But, you know, for most of us, we don't watch these high schools. We don't know who these kids are. What are the Braves saying about this young man, why they selected him 8th overall?
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret about the fact that baseball draft is very different than just about any other draft in any other sport. And one of the big things is it's kind of impossible to see all these guys. You're not watching them on Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons or Saturday nights, for that matter. But this is a kid that the Braves feel like they really have gotten one of the top pitchers, top arms in the draft. And when you're drafting the top 10, you really should feel that way. It's a kid that, you know, 6'6", as you mentioned, big kid. He's going to be able to fill out some more. He's already got a fastball that can touch 98. And he has what Braves scouting director Brian Bridges said is the best curveball in the draft. After going and doing my research and taking a look at what this kid's doing, I'd have a hard time disagreeing with that. It's a pretty dynamic curveball. I got to talk to Carter Stewart a little bit yesterday, and I asked him who he kind of patterns his game after. Like, who would you model yourself after? And he said, pretty much without hesitation, Justin Verlander is his guy. And whenever I hear that, I like to go and kind of watch the video with that in mind. So I looked at the two of them side by side today, and it is not quite a mirror image, but you can tell the Justin Verlander influence on the mechanics and delivery, the arm slot, the release point, everything that you look at with Carter Stewart. It's very much apparent. So if you got a guy who's modeling himself after a guy like Justin Verlander, and that's you're picking in the top 10, and it's a kid that could be in the organization for a long time, that's the kind of name you'd like to associate with the draft. That's a pretty good one.
So what's next? Because obviously he had a scholarship offer from Miss State, a great baseball rich tradition there. What's he going to do?
He's going to sign with the Braves is every indication that I've gotten. He was asked last night, did he foresee there being any particular reason why he would not come to a deal with Atlanta? And he said, no, nothing should stop him to get this deal in place and get things started. And obviously once you sign a deal, typically you'll have, first week of June. So within the next 3 weeks or so, the short season leagues will start. So that's both the Gulf Coast League and additionally the Appalachian League or the short season league. So the Braves have their GCL team and they also have their team in Danville that are both rookie level affiliates. So he might find his way to one of those before the year is over. I don't know that it would necessarily be immediate, but he'd certainly head down to Florida and start getting himself into baseball activities and ready to make that professional debut. If he can get the pen on the paper and going to get the dollar signs that he likes.
Grant, Carl, we can make a trip to Kingsport, Bluefield, or Pulaski and go watch the kid throw.
No, that's true. We can. Listen, there's nothing more exciting than minor league, you know, A-ball. Hey, Grant, what else are they going to do in this draft? What are they looking for as far as position-wise? What do the Braves feel like they have to have in this draft moving forward?
I mean, you're looking for everything, and it really, to me, I mean, obviously, when you go through a major league draft, and you can look at what the Braves have done the last few years, you're going to build it on pitching because you need more pitching than anything else, and the attrition that comes with that position is second to none. So the majority of it's going to be pitching, but you're also looking for just the best talents that you can find based on the draft board and the advanced scouting that you've done, sending guys out, and it really, the preparation for a draft for an organization starts as soon as the other one was done. So last year, 2017, as soon as the Braves got done with that draft class, they got right back to work and went right out trying to find all the players, you know, both in the higher round realm, the middle rounds, and just the guys that will fill out a draft class. And, of course, throughout the year, names pop up, and you start to get guys on your radar, and you follow them around and try to figure out exactly what you may have. So it's a year-round job when it comes to the Major League Baseball draft. We may only hear about it a lot for this 3 days or so, or when such and such player makes his debut, or however that may play out. But for the Braves organization and for every team, it's a year-round thing. So you need everything. You want to go out and get all the arms that are necessary to kind of carry your organization. But I've been told that you don't necessarily win a draft in the first few rounds. You win it in those latter rounds from say round, maybe 6-7 on, to the end, to the 40th round. You know, I mean, that's where you're really going to find the true value picks that could really make an impact on your organization, because when you draft an early, you expect to get good players, because you should, because, you know, you're in the early portions of this draft. But as you get going, that depth is really important.
It's Grant McCauley with us here, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline as the Baseball Major League Amateur Draft is underway. A couple guys are hitting us up on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line asking about the Coppolella penalties over the Caribbean thing, or is that just international play? That has no bearing on this, right?
No, I don't think he's in the Caribbean. I'm not sure where he is right now.
No,
I'm just kidding. No, they lost. They did lose their third-round pick, and I did ask Brian Bridges, the Braves scouting director, how that affects, you know, what were you thinking in the second round, for example, when they took Grayson Janista out of Wichita State, the college bat. Did you have any, you know, I guess, extra added pressure to definitely go position player since you don't have a third-round pick? And he said, you know, almost, but we really tried to stay true with our board and to take that best player that we had available. And he said that over the first, and that was pick number 49, so over the first 50-ish picks of the draft, you know, their board obviously takes a beating because everybody's kind of narrowed in on the top 25 to 50 players, and it starts to kind of change from there on out. But he said that, you know, sticking with their board, understanding that, you know, that is one round, it's obviously inconvenient if nothing else. I mean, you want all the talents you can get, but they don't really foresee that being something that's going to deter them from having a really excellent draft, even though they are obviously or have lost that pick because the third round has already occurred.
It is Grant McCauley here with us. Moving on to the squad. Last night, tough L. What do you do with Julio? Is this a concern for you with this pitching performance last night, or more importantly, over his last three or four starts?
You know, yeah, it is. And I don't think there's two ways about that. I've seen Julio for, you know, 5 years now as a big league pitcher, and he has really changed a lot to me over that time. And sometimes it seems like he's two different pitchers depending on, you know, whether he's home or road, or whether he's had a good start or a bad start. But to me this year, it seems like every single start, his fastball velocity and or control, a command, is not where he wants it to be. I mean, every once in a while, he'll ramp it up and hit 91, 92, but it's becoming less and less frequent. This year, I've seen him more between 87 and 89 than ever before. And the big talk before the season was, hey, if that slider is where he wants it, if he's able to snap that off with, you know, the frequency and the spotting that he wants to, as far as that pitch is concerned, that'll be a difference maker that doesn't make you worry so much about the velocity, because I do think he's a pitcher who's a little more deceptive or sneaky quick for some hitters. But you know, that simply has not been the case. The slider has been a little bit erratic. His fastball command's been erratic. And once your fastball's not going where it needs to, you can really kind of start to eliminate pitches like the slider, because you don't have to worry about it if you can't throw it for a strike. So I think a lot of things are going on there with Julio, and not a lot of them seem to be, you know, particularly encouraging of late. He was able to grind through that last start, that seven-inning start, allowing just two runs in his last outing at SunTrust Park. But he didn't have great velocity there either. So I think you got to figure out what's going on there. He had that thumb thing that happened last night while he was hitting. I guess he jammed his thumb up, so that forced him to come out of the game. But the diminished velocity was already there. So that just starts to become that question that won't really go away. And I like to give guys a little bit of time coming out of spring training to maybe work their way back up to that. But Julio has just really not found himself back in that comfortable fastball velocity that I would like, and obviously a little bit erratic as well. So there's a lot of things that seem to be going on for Julio Teheran, and none of them seem to be particularly encouraging.
Hit last night for Ender Inciarte. What do you think of him at the top of the lineup? It seemed like he was more comfortable batting seventh.
Yeah, I don't see him at the top of the lineup right now as being the Braves' best option to win. And I had been wondering if Johan Camargo was going to get that opportunity to move up into that two spot, maybe get Ozzie Albies back in the leadoff role, because, you know, Ozzie's a guy that's only going to have, or at least right now, thus far in the season, hopefully in the future this will change, but his on-base percentage is only around 320, 330 as well. You like to have a guy up at the top of the order that has an on-base percentage well north of 370, 380, obviously 400 would be fantastic. It worked pretty well for Ricky Henderson for a long time. But Ender, when he's not hitting, he doesn't walk enough, I think, to stay at the top of the order and be that guy for the Braves. So you got to get him going. You want to continue to give him opportunities to, you know, find those games and find his rhythm and get himself on track. But, you know, we're in the month of June now. I don't think you can put a guy up at the top of the order that's on basing somewhere around, you know, 270, 280. That's on base percentage, not batting average. So I think the Braves need to stick with Ozzie up there. When they can get Ronald Acuna back sometime in the next, week or 10 days, hopefully, mm-hmm. That's the guy that I put right back at the two spot and get him right back in front of Freddie, because at the end of the day, You want your best hitters to have the most at-bats you can give them in a game. And for my money, that's Ozzie Albies, Ronald Acuna, and Freddie Freeman, and not necessarily in that order.
Grant, great job as always. We will talk soon. We'll see what the Braves do tonight. Make sure you follow Grant on Twitter. That is Grant McCauley. Guys, coming up, NFL Blitz. The latest from Flowery and what Dan Quinn said today about Julio. I want you to hear it. It's coming up next.
Is this going to make me angry?
It might.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.